no doubt belting out up Cronulla there on Saturday evening after that dramatic win late against the Eels. Buzz, morning to you, mate. It looked like a fantastic atmosphere there at Shark Park.
Yeah, it really was, Middo, and good morning, Laurie. I've written a column today about suburban home grounds and the theatre and the atmosphere at Cronulla on Saturday night. Look, I thought I was getting a little bit carried away because being a Cronulla fan, they won on the belt. And I was listening to another radio station yesterday, and when people like David Morrow, who's been calling rugby league 43 years, says it was one of his great experiences ever at a club game, it would give you an idea of the atmosphere there. And then you turn on the television last night and you watch a really good, solid contest, the Broncos playing the Bulldogs. Crowd of 13,000, which meant there were basically 70,000 empty seats at a big stadium, and it's just not the same. I think this weekend has shown why Peter Volandis is going so hard at the state government to get funding to build a decent Brookvale Oval, to build a new Penrith Park, upgrade the Sharks, Leichhardt, and all these venues, because you cannot beat it. And look, the facilities and the parking might be as comfortable as the bigger venues, but it's tribalism. It's what rugby league's all about. And it really was a night to remember. Look, obviously a tough loss for Parra to lose on the end, but I thought that at the end, I thought the Sharks were the better side. They scored more tries. And for the life of me, the government have spent $870 million on a 46,000-seat stadium in Moore Park. When you look at their tenants, I think there'll be 25,000 empty seats there when the Roosters play, the Waratahs play, Sydney FC. And look, I'm just a massive fan for suburban ground footy, and places like Bank West, Amy Park, the smaller boutique stadiums for rugby league.
When's the redevelopment finished out there, Buzz?
Laurie, not a lot's happening in the actual playing field, but the numbers are restricted at the moment because of the building site, and it won't be completely finished until there's still a lot of work to be done until midway through next year. So it's going to be hard, you know, to get a park and, you know, to finish the ground, but it'll be worth waiting for. And going home on Saturday night was such a better experience than going to Cogra, and even though the facilities were a bit better there, it's just that theatre there. It's just the song at the end of the game. It was just the atmosphere. It really was a special night. David Morrow, to say what he did, you know, it was a great night. And I hope it came up as well for our listeners on Fox Sports, because, really enjoyed the night.
Yeah, oh, the atmosphere in Newcastle yesterday, how good did that look?
I know. Oh, yeah. They were great drone shots, guys, weren't they? And, you know, you look at that crowd, what was it, up towards 25,000 for a game against, you know, the West Tigers. And I was going to talk about this Newcastle side. And you look at what happened yesterday and you consider the quality of the player they were missing from last year. And there's Mitchell Pearce, Clemmer didn't play yesterday, Brayley didn't play, Ponga was out. Saifidi was out there, so their two origin players are out. And the only change I can see at Newcastle, apart from Clifford and Clune and the halves, is Andrew Johns, their attacking coach. And there's no question that they won so easily, 26 points to 4, without all those star players. And, magnificent performance by the Knights. I've got to be fair, Dinkum. I thought they'd be down the bottom of the table this year, but they're showing some really encouraging signs, and I can't wait for their match against the Panthers this weekend to get a better barometer of where they're going.
Two things have stood out for me with Newcastle this year. The obvious one is their attack. So their attack is completely different, but there's more excitement and more fight in that playing group. And they defend. Their defence in the opening two games have been sensational. They did it really well against the Roosters, and I wanted to see them back up with strong performance against the Tigers, and they did that, albeit the Tigers made it easier for them. But they started with intent, and I think that's what I like to see from sides at the start of the year. And, you know, they were moving the footy around, but it was their ability to show the same commitment to defence as they do with the football that is won me over. Because I reckon all good sides, you've got to have that hunger and desire to work hard when you haven't got the ball. It's always easy to do that when you've got the ball, but they just worked hard defensively, and I think that'll hold them in good stead for the rest of the season as well.
Yes, Loz, I think their recruitment has been outstanding as well. Look, Clune, I'm just looking at his stats, he had 5 runs, 51 metres, but I think Jake Clifford, and I know he was there last year, he's just been outstanding at 5'8". But I think you don't often talk about centres as being great recruits, but the way Dane Gagai has their back five performing, he's just been outstanding. 144 metres yesterday, made 8 tackle busts. And the young winger from England, Young, I think he's playing so well on the wing because of his relationship with Gagai and helping him through. And I thought he was magnificent again yesterday. Great try. It's so exciting to have Newcastle, you know, shaping up as a top eight contender again. But it's just the quality of their football. It's been outstanding. And well done, Adam O'Brien, because he was under a bit of pressure, like a few other coaches this year, and Joey Johns has been getting a lot of the credit for the attack, but he sits back. He looks a calmer figure in the box whenever the cameras go to the coaching box, and he's happy for Joey to get a lot of credit, and he's just going quietly about his business, and now well done, Knights.
Well, round three, Michael Maguire up against Nathan Brown, the Warriors and the Tigers this week. You won't want to be the losing coach heading to that press conference after the game.
No, you won't, Middo. Look, the Warriors have lost to the Dragons and the Titans, two very winnable games, and the West Tigers have lost to Melbourne, a very understrength Melbourne, and that was really, really poor against the Knights yesterday. Loz, and I noticed you let Luke Brooks off the hook, and obviously you can't blame one player for their performance, but look, he asked for a release not once but twice during the off-season, and it was about him not enjoying his football there, and he was desperately keen to go to Newcastle and replace Mitchell Pearce in the halves before they signed Clune from St George Illawarra. So he's just not happy there. And the couple of the senior boys here, I thought Tyrone Peach, he was awful yesterday. He was undisciplined. And if this side is going to get better this year, they've got to turn to their experienced players, and Brooks and Peachy just aren't aiming up. And
Well, that worries me, Buzz, if he's not happy there, Luke Brooks, because if that's the case, you've got to make some changes. If he's not happy and he's not out there, and the playing group, if they know that, and if you're not getting performances that are up to scratch by Luke Brooks, you're better off to let him go. You're better off to say, listen, this is not working if you're not happy and we're going to get performances like this, because they need to do something differently.
Yeah, but the problem goes, he's a $900,000 playmaker, so they let Luke Brooks go, okay? Now, this club has had a massive problem trying to bring new people in, and it's something I don't like saying about Madge, but he has had trouble bringing, you know, good players that can lift them from where they are currently are. And so what do they do if they let... I guess they move Jackson Hastings to halfback.
Yeah, let him go to seven, and then you've got Dewey coming back. Adam, but he'll be back mid-season. But I don't know. If they're going to keep Luke Brooks and he's not happy, I think that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, Luke Brooks isn't doing himself any favours with the football he's playing either, but he just doesn't look like he's desperate. And he's another one of these football players I wish we'd had the opportunity to see in a better football side like Melbourne or Manly or Roosters, or just to see how he does go with more class around him. He's not at state of origin level, so we're never going to... But look, wasn't that long ago he was Dalian Halfback of the Year. I think it was 3 years ago.
Yeah. I'm sort of letting him off the hook a bit yesterday because I'm just looking at their numbers and I watched that game and there was no energy in their defence and they were dropping the ball and they were giving away penalties. And as a halfback, if you're playing in a team that's getting beaten up like that, you can't do a lot.
Laurie, let's deep down. Whose fault is it when there's no energy in the football side? Does that come back to the coach and the way the team's been prepared for the game? And I don't want a bag match because he's a really good fella. He won that great competition in 2014.
Yeah.
But when the team turns up in the manner in which they did on the weekend, it's simply not good enough.
Yeah, no, and that's a fair point. But what I can't accept, Buzz, is that we let the players off the hook all the time.
No, I agree with you.
We let the players off and we blame the coach and we say it's the coach's fault. And to some degree, the coach will take responsibility and has to take responsibility. But you've got to come back to the playing group. The playing group, your own pride every time you run out there. You, regardless of who you're playing for, whether it's the Tigers, you're playing to prove to yourself that you're good enough and you want to compete against the best and you get yourself up and about. That's what I just think it's so easy at times. And again, you know, we all do it. We're all critical of coaches and they're the figurehead at the club and so they should be. But sometimes you just... The players just get off scot-free.
Yeah, look, they can't wait till next year, but they've got Papali'i coming from Parramatta and they've got Epi Korosau coming from the Panthers, which is going to make a difference. But whether Madge can hang on that long remains to be seen. The other guy who has escaped a lot of criticisms, Madge's opponent this week, Nathan Brown. And look, Brownie got the job at Warriors on the rebound at the start. Remember, they were desperately keen. They offered the job to Todd Payton. He knocked them back and took on the Cowboys role. But, you know, Brownie's had a really rough period. He won those three wooden spoons in Newcastle, got them playing a bit stronger towards the back end of his time there. But they're another really, really disappointing football side. And, you know, they're not playing much better than the Tigers, and they should be. And we can no longer use the excuse that, look, they don't have home ground advantage. They're settled as a group in Redcliffe, and there's no reason why they can't beat teams like the Dragons and the Titans. They're not playing Storm, Roosters, Rabbitohs and the Gun sides at the moment. And, you know, they're no hope at all against those teams from what we've seen the opening 2 weeks. So, the coaching box pressure, that match is going to be immense this weekend, and it'll be a must-watch game, just to see what happens.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I think you're right there. That's a fair point in terms of people watching and you know the Warriors. They were unlucky on the weekend, but again, it comes down to your wins. Buzz, I want to ask you about the Warriors though, just on the announcement last week that New Zealand are opening up their borders in early April. Do you know whether they are looking at the possibility of going home or are they committed to staying here in Australia for the rest of the year?
Oh, look, the NRL wants to get the Warriors home as soon as they can. And with the borders opening, that's obviously a step in the right direction. But the NRL is concerned that if the team does go home, and if there's another COVID outbreak, then it's going to make it almost impossible for them to come here, for teams every second week to go to Auckland. So it's still being monitored at the headquarters. Obviously, we've got to get a team back in New Zealand at some stage. Rugby league was growing so big in New Zealand before COVID. So, but there's no plans at the moment, Loz, and I can understand the NRL. We can't afford to send them back for 2 week COVID break. But, you know, we need certainty about where the world's heading.
We've got some significant derbies this week, Buzz. Southern Sydney Derby, Dragons and the Sharks. Of course, the Roosters and the Bunnies. And in Queensland, the Cowboys and the Broncos as well.
Yeah, it's a really great round this weekend, isn't it? Look, I've really begun enjoying the football this year a lot more. You just go through the scores from the weekend. The Storm beat the Rabbitohs by one. The Dragons Panthers went down to the wire. Titans Warriors went down to the wire. Bulldogs, they're all going down to the wire these games. There's no big blowouts, and it's fantastic. It's going to be like that again this weekend. Of course, Dragons Cronulla will be huge in Wollongong Thursday night. Roosters Rabbitohs. Wow, what a game of football that'll be. Rabbitohs getting towards a situation where Jason Demetrio and those boys desperately need a win to save their season. Storm Eels. It's going to be a great indication of where Parramatta's at. I think they've been really disappointing that first round against the Titans. Their defence was awful, and I think they were down again against Cronulla. And the match I'm really looking forward to is Penrith and the Knights, because we're going to get a great indication of where Adam O'Brien and this football team is at the moment. So I said before, doing all this without Ponga, Saifidi, Brayley, Clemmer, just been a sensational start, and if they can get some troops onto the park, I think they're going to play strong, and I think they'll give Penrith a run for their money, as impressive Penrith has been in the first couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, Buzz, as always.
No, thank you, guys, and enjoy your week. Cheers.